Make no mistake, we will get to the bottom of this, and we will find out who did this, we'll find out why they did this. Any responsible individuals, any responsible groups will feel the full weight of justice. I've updated leaders of Congress in both parties, and we reaffirm that on days like this, there are no Republicans or Democrats. We are Americans, united in concern for our fellow citizens.
All right, welcome into the zone on what is a gray, sad Tuesday to some degree. Jim Harris joining us in the studio from Sporting Life Arkansas. That's not the sad part, of course, what happened yesterday in Boston. Shortly after we went off the air, or it was actually probably happening but did not come to our attention until after we got off the air. It was probably happening while we were on the air. But Jim, good to have you in the studio.
Hey, it's good to be here, Justin. Thank you.
You bet. We are going to, in a few minutes, talk to a gentleman who was running in the Boston Marathon yesterday from Mineral Springs. His name is Kim Howard. It was the third time he had run the Boston Marathon. He's run 45 overall, so this is a guy that is extremely experienced in running marathons.
At least up until the one he experienced yesterday, I'm sure. Of course, yeah. He was finished, but
right.
Yes, this is stunning. I guess to even be a participant and have finished before all this started happening just has to be just a shock. It'll be interesting to hear Kim tell us about the experience.
The bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Scott Faldon, who's with the Fort Smith Times. He's the sports editor there, and he spoke to several of the runners from that part of the state. And there were 37 in all, I believe, was the final number.
Well, I saw Joe Fennell ran again. He's from Fayetteville. I know him.
Yeah?
He's 60. And then I saw that Julie Bridgeforth from Pine Bluff, a good friend of mine, also was in it. And she must have been in that group that, if you've seen the video, they just held up a bunch of runners from the finish line, I guess. It was, several hundred yards. You know, they hold up several thousand runners, I guess.
Right.
And I think she must have been one of those because her final time's not in there. But I've actually got an email out or a text out to see if we can even get her before the show's over.
If anybody wants in on any of this today, feel free, 433-1037. We do have a couple of interviews, again, related to the bombing yesterday. But the majority of the time will probably be spent, you know, talking about it, what it means, I guess. And you know, look, one of the big fears I've had as a sports fan is that, you know, they will attack a sporting event, and this is certainly one of the most high-profile sporting events in the world. You know, I think as a football fan, we all worry that somebody will do something in a stadium because you've got 50, 60, in some cases over 100,000 people packed into one small area.
Yeah.
It's certainly not a stretch of the imagination to think that that could happen someday, and it's scary, but the bottom line is you cannot 100% protect yourself, I don't think, ever.
You know, several years ago, they had a movie called Black Sunday that was based on a terrorist attack. Not terrorist like we think of today.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was internal terrorists, you know, planning to hit the Super Bowl, and it was going to be in Miami in the Orange Bowl. And you think about all these, you know, cataclysmic, dystopian kind of scenarios that either end up on film that we talk about. Have you ever thought, oh, they're going to hit a marathon? That's what they're going to hit.
Never crossed my mind.
I know, you know, the things that they do hit, you don't, it's not what we've anticipated.
You know, there was a story that kind of captured most people's attention, I guess, and this guy's talked publicly now since the end of the marathon yesterday, was a gentleman who, I think he was 85, he was an older gentleman, and he was at the finish line. Everybody saw him sort of crumble into the ground after the bomb went off, and he got back up and finished the run. I mean, he only had about 100 yards left. That, to me, that's sort of a microcosm of the American spirit to me. It was sort of like, you know what, that's what we'll do here. And in a bigger picture of things, that's what we're all going to do today is dust ourselves off and pick ourselves up and try to help the people who are wounded and certainly cry and pray for the people who lost loved ones. And then we'll move forward. But again, these kinds of things are going to happen. There was a story in the Statewide Daily today, Jim, and the name caught my attention because we know someone with a similar name. A person named Courtney Allison, she had just finished, I guess, shortly before the blast happened, and of course we know Allison Courtney with KTV, so I was like, oh, that's kind of an interesting name. But anyway, there are a lot of personal stories, both from folks in Arkansas and people from around the country. This is truly, I mean, I'm sure this is a very international-flavored event where you've got people coming in from all over the world. Speaking of international, folks in Boston, or the folks in London, rather, their marathon is coming up next, and they've already said, hey, we're going to go forward with ours. And that's been a city that's been somewhat embattled to some degree as far as
I mean, they've been hit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, dealing with terrorism, and certainly they're much closer in proximity to a lot of the nations that we keep a close eye on. But anyway, it's it's a sad day for America, and again, more information to come. I think the latest total I heard on the number of injured is 176. So three dead, 176, and most people have heard the story of the 8-year-old boy whose father had run, came off the course, finished his race, hugged his son, hugged his family, and then the explosion happened. The father had moved off, I guess. The mother was suffered a brain injury. The story was that the sister lost a leg, maybe. Mm. And, of course, this 8-year-old boy was killed, and they had his photo up, I guess, on most of the media outlets. There have been many, many gruesome graphic pictures that were not released by most of the mainstream media, but if you glance at the internet for any amount of time today, looking up stories and trying to gather information, you will see some pretty gruesome stuff. I mean, there are, limbs yeah. off and some sad situations, but again, it's the people who jumped in, and as we were talking about on the morning show today, these are the times now where we have learned from past experiences, where if anybody jumps up and tries to cause some fracas on a plane or any kind of trouble on a plane, we're going to jump on them. We're not going to sit back and go, oh, gee, please don't do anything bad to us. We'll sit here quietly. No, they're going to jump on them and beat the hell out of that dude. In the same way that when this kind of thing happens, people instantly respond. And I saw people who were first responders running into where the bomb happened. I saw people who were not first responders running into where the bomb happened just to see if they could lend a hand. The natural instinct is to get away from danger. But I think as an American, now we all sort of band together and go in and see who we can help.
The instant that it may have been the first bomb, and when the old man kind of wobbles and crumbles, you get that human reaction, that instantaneous, what the heck was that? And of course, the runners were getting away from it, but that was amazing to see. Other people were like, boom, we're going to find out what this is. Yeah. I mean, even though there may have been one that would have followed seconds later.
Right.
How much time was between the two?
Not long. I think just seconds. Yeah. I mean, several seconds maybe.
But you had some people probably in that vicinity trying to help after the first one.
Right. Well, it's amazing because I can't imagine. Jim and I, we do not have marathoner bodies. We are not runners. I cannot imagine, again, you go through the physical challenges of a marathon anyway, and then you're getting to the marathon finish line, and you're about to have that release, and you're about to finish what is a great personal accomplishment for many people if it was their first one, or, if they'd run it 10 times before, I think the feeling's probably similar. But, and then all of a sudden a bomb goes off. I mean, it's just, I can't even imagine how. It's got to be like a Twilight Zone kind of moment.
I think it has a lot of people wondering, as President Obama said, let's not jump to conclusions as to where this terrorist attack came from, but let's admit it's a terrorist attack of some sort, internal, or is it from our enemies? But certainly they picked out something, as you mentioned, that's an internal international flavor, an international reach. There is the New York Marathon, but you think of the Boston Marathon first in America, and you have such an international entry list as well. You have to wonder who would have decided to make their mark and do something such as this on our soil.
Well, the good news is nobody was injured from the state of Arkansas. We certainly, mourn the people who were lost, and we'll pray for the families of the injured and the dead. So it's a tough deal. We'll also get to some other things today. Jim is here. He saw 42, fortunately, and look forward to hearing more talk about that. It's obviously the story of Jackie Robinson. He was on it around the league yesterday. And again, it was sort of, there were so many mixed emotions around the country yesterday. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, it's just hard to wrap your head around it, but anyway,
a sporting event. I think the Celtics game was canceled last night. Canceled, not just postponed, but they won't make it up.
Right.
It'll be one of the few times that two teams won't play the full schedule in the NBA, but the rest of the league will.
Yeah, it had no relevance to the outcome, I guess, of the seeding, so they were going to move on and not replay it. I'm sure for some of those older players in the league, that's probably welcome. And I guess I didn't even look at the Eastern standings. So
did the Red Sox, they played in the morning?
They played 11 o'clock, I think, was their first pitch, so they were finished by the time the bombing had happened. Let's go to the Revolution Hotline and talk to Kim Howard, who's from Mineral Springs and ran his third Boston Marathon and fortunately finished before the bombings had happened. He was in close proximity, but not right at the finish line when all this went down. Kim, appreciate you making some time.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you coming on with us this morning. I know you're still in Boston? Are you leaving town today?
I am walking to Boston, to Logan Airport as we speak.
Okay. So from your perspective, I guess, where were you? What did you hear? What did you see? What was the aftermath like?
I had finished the race. I went and got my bag off the baggage bus, which takes probably anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes. Walked on through, walked about two blocks off of Boston, called my sister, let her know I'd finished the race okay. Sat down at a park bench, took a picture of my finisher's medal, put it on Facebook, and about that time I saw a fire truck come through, and people were running kind of towards it, which I thought was kind of strange. I thought, well, it was a fire, people want to see it, but they were in a dead sprint. So finally I asked somebody that was running, I said, what's the deal? Because some of the women were crying. And they said, well, two pipe bombs went off a while ago. So I immediately called my sister back in Nashville, Arkansas, and told her, said, hey, a bomb went off. You're probably going to hear about it on TV, but I'm okay. And I hung up. And right after that, they jammed the phone lines where you couldn't call out. People could call in sporadically, and you could send text messages. But after that, just like turmoil. I mean, it's kind of reminiscent of, as fast as I'd say, 9/11. I mean, people were blood over sprinting from the scene.
Now, you were with other Arkansans during the race, is that right?
Yes, sure was.
Okay, so, I mean, have you been in contact with them since the race ended? My understanding is...
Yes. One of them was back at the room where we were staying afterwards, and then James Brissett, and then Jacob Wells, he came in not long afterwards.
Now, you've been through this event before. This is certainly, as we were talking earlier, an international event. I mean, it's the premier marathon. Is that a fair assessment?
Sir?
Is this the premier marathon, would you say? I mean, as far
as...
Yeah,
okay. Yes, premier in the world. Yeah. Yes.
So you've run it before. I mean, just talk to me about, I guess, the community. I understand it's really kind of a social event for the folks in Boston who are not running. Is that true?
Oh, yes. It's Patriots Day, which is a state holiday. You know, they close down all the government offices and the schools and everything. So it's a very much of a holiday. Everybody's out barbecuing and all that kind of thing, kind of like we would on a 4th of July or Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm. Kim Howard joining us. He ran in the Boston Marathon yesterday. So what did you do? I mean, directly after, once you realized what was going on, did you guys just go back to your hotel, or what did you do?
Yes, I just went on back and kind of sat down, and we watched TV in a little media room they had.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as far as the city goes, was it shut down? I know they were encouraging people to kind of stay off the streets last night. What was it like?
Well, last night we did walk down the street. I was one of the Cokes. We walked down and got one. And the Boston Street was shut down, I'd say a perimeter probably, and still is, probably two blocks, both east and west, I'm assuming it is, and probably 10 blocks, or if not more, on the north and south. So you still kind of can't go anywhere through there.
How far are you staying from the finish line?
We were two blocks off. We were on Commonwealth.
Mm-hmm.
So we were two blocks one side and then probably three blocks back, so probably, you know, four or five blocks.
Okay. Did you go back down that way this morning?
I walked the field, but you couldn't get in. I mean, from where we are, you couldn't even make a left-hand turn or even go anywhere near Boston.
You know, there's obviously you got, you know, thoughts and prayers for the families who are affected here from an injury standpoint and from a death standpoint. They also, on a much lesser scale, I think about the people who have been training for this thing their whole lives. Maybe this will be their one opportunity. You know, and I know they pulled everybody off the course once the bombs went off, which was certainly from a safety standpoint the appropriate thing to do. But, you know, in a completely different kind of way, I'm in no way trying to compare the two. But, I mean, it is, your heart does break for these people who this is a lifelong goal, and you get your one crack at it, and then, you know, this happens.
Yes, it's a terrible thing. I just hope they find whoever did this and was responsible for it and deal with them as they deserve.
So, would you go back? I mean, is this something that you would, you know, go back for?
Yes, I'd do it in a heartbeat. If you don't, you're letting whoever did this, whoever it may be, win. I mean, I'm not going to let anybody defeat me. If I qualify next year, I'd come back in a heartbeat. I wouldn't think twice about it.
Now, Kim, you're an interesting story anyway. 45 marathons in your career?
Yes.
How old are you?
I'm 51.
51. You've run 45 marathons. That's amazing. So do you have any other marathons on your schedule this year?
Yes, later on in the year. Have Tupelo in September, the Arkansas Marathon in October, the Mid-South Marathon in November, and St. Jude's in Memphis in December.
You talked about being with the Arkansans there, and the running community, as Jim and I were talking about earlier, neither of us is running very far, but I certainly have a lot of respect for what people put their bodies through to become marathon runners. It's a pretty it's a pretty tight knit community, isn't it?
Oh yes, it is. I mean, I go to races. You know, I live in Mineral Springs in Southwest Arkansas. I go to races all over the state of Arkansas and have met numerous, I mean, hundreds of friends, and we're all very close.
Mm-hmm. How do you qualify? How do you go about qualifying for Boston?
Well, I had to run under a 3 hour and 30 minute marathon, and I qualified in Little Rock not this year, but the past year, 2012.
Okay.
I ran a 3:27, I believe.
And you ran 3:37 yesterday, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. What's the course like? I mean, what's the how is the course set up?
Oh, it's good. It's just it's net downhill course, and you know, there's a few hills, but it's just take you out to Hopkinton, and then you run back to Boston. But nice course of few rolling hills, and just through some small towns.
Kim, any other Arkansans that you know of that will be on your flight today coming back?
Yes, sir. Do Jacob Wells? He is coming back, and James Brissett. They're on they'll be on the same flight as I am.
Okay.
And Dave Wilkinson, he's flying back. He's on a separate flight.
Okay. Well, y'all have a safe trip back. I appreciate the time, and glad y'all got out of there safely. Thank you for coming on with us this morning.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, Kim, take care.
Bye-bye.
It's Kim Howard from Mineral Springs, Arkansas, ran the Boston Marathon in just under 3:40 yesterday. And fortunately, I guess more importantly than your time by far, is the fact that they got out of there safely. All the Arkansans, and I understand there were 37 in all, got out safely, so that was good to see, but certainly the almost 200 people injured. You certainly, your heart goes out to them, and for the people who lost, one of the three folks that were killed yesterday, you can't help but have your heart go out to them, and your thoughts and prayers go out to them as well. So, anyway, we're going to take a time out here in just a minute. We will visit with Scott Fowlden, Fort Smith Times sports editor, and I know he talked to several of the other runners. Just wanted to see what kinds of stories he got from them. I actually had a chance to – I reached out to the two guys I know from Boston. One's my former co-host, and one is my current UCA broadcast partner, Steve Sullivan. And luckily, both of them had family members who were all safe and accounted for. But Sully, his brother Mike, who I did talk to briefly on the phone yesterday, and I'd like to get on before the end of the show, was right across from the finish line yesterday, Jim.
That's amazing.
And you want to talk about – an unbelievable amount of fear and concern. He had a daughter who was about a mile from the finish when the explosions went off.
I've been thinking, and I'm sure the experts, the FBI guys, all the experts that are investigating this, trying to get into the mind of, you know, I'm not trying to be like in TV or whatever, but trying to get into the mind of this psycho that did this or whoever, and what was the thinking? I mean, why set it off when it went off? What was the intent to get? I mean, it's near the finish line, real close, but it was what, an hour or two? It seems like it was almost 2 hours after the
it was about two hours after the winner.
So you're not. And of course, there's a big gap usually.
Right.
What was the thinking? What was the
maybe they were hoping to get a
plan.
Number of a lot of folks coming through at that time. I don't know, but
it's
anyway.
Just amazing. And I'd love to hear from Mike as well, but being in such proximity to that.
Well, and the thing is too. I mean, you're going to get it's an international story now. No matter what happens, and it's hard to say. I mean, every life is precious, certainly. And if it was your kid, I mean, if he was the only one that is killed, I mean, that's the most important thing in the world to you. I mean, but the loss of life could have been worse. Now, we're assuming that none of the people who were critically injured are going to pass. And, I mean, from the report I saw from a doctor today who has worked on a number of these folks, it didn't look like there would be any more loss of life. But, again, there's loss of limbs, you know, lives changed. And, I mean, we're all going to be changed a little bit, I think, probably because of this. It's just, unfortunately, it's one more, one more thing we're thinking about now. Again, we know. I mean, I think most people realize by now that anything can happen anywhere at any time.
Yeah, I'm still a little shaken by the woman who was killed last week in Afghanistan, who Senator Kerry, Secretary of State Kerry, eulogized, who was just delivering books or helping do that in Kandahar.
Yeah.
And that was a major story nationally.
Mm. Here's Ed Davis, the Boston Police Commissioner. We'll play a clip from him as we head into the break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Scott Fowlden, who is the sports editor for the Fort Smith Times. He talked to several of the runners from the Northwest Arkansas and from the western part of the state, and we'll visit with him about what he was able to glean after the conversation with those runners. It's certainly a sad story. We will not spend the entire show on it today, but I wanted to give it some time, and if anybody wants to weigh in on it, feel free. 433-1037 or 1-800-477-1037. You can send us some Keith Lee Service Company Live fan feedback through our Listen Live button, or you can email us thezone at 1037thebuzz.com. Justin Anchory joined in the Fury Electric studio today by Jim Harris of Sporting Life Arkansas.
On behalf of Mayor Menino, I'd like to offer my sympathies to the victims and the families of this horrendous event. This cowardly act will not be taken in stride. We will turn every rock over to find the people who are responsible for this.